All right, this week we're working on numbers. Next week it's letters, then shapes and colors. After that, it's the news, according to me. It is Tuesday, October 22nd, 8:57 a.m. in the morning time, Eastern Standard Time, and I am coming to you live from the recording room. I'm live, but this is being recorded live. We're not live anywhere. We're just recording, but I'm live right here, right now. But it's being recorded. It's a complicated time space continuum thing we got to work on. 2024. We have a couple things to get into here today. First of all, the dog has to. Now that I've started talking, he's got to start digging a tunnel to China. Might not be a bad idea. Makes shipping a lot easier. Just drop it down a hole. Here it goes. Yeah. So we have in my cup. Let's just get this out of the way. We have chai with, what is it? It's that Cinnabon creamer. It's my backup cup. Is always more exciting. So I have this. Cup here. I went to Texas Roadhouse last night, and I got a sweet tea to go. That was actually sometimes the teas there. It's sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's not. When it's not, I typically don't walk away with anything. It was a little bit strong on the tea flavor and the sugar. So I believe what happens typically is, and it was very warm when I got it. What they normally do is they concentrate it a little bit heavy, so that when you pour it over ice, it waters it down to the point where it's about right. It's balanced about right. Unfortunately, that didn't work. Last night, when we got the second cup of tea, it was still a little bit strong. So I put a bunch of ice in it this morning. Of course, it's not warm, obviously, but it's about right. It's about right. Yeah, that's about right. It's a little bit on the sweet side. And I know that some of you who know me would say, well, "What? You basically have a glass full of sugar that you liquefy." Pretty much, that's about right. It's about right. It's about true. It's about. I'm not that guy anymore. I tend to not be quite that ridiculous on the sweetness, but I'm less sweet than I was before. As an old man, I'm getting to be an old man was not quite as sweet as I used to be. However, I don't know what I got going on with my sinuses today. It's kind of weird. I was outside working last night, but I don't know. Of course, now the farmer next door was doing some things. I don't know if that has anything to do with it or not, but I did sleep well last night. So I don't know. At least I got that going for me. So I have a couple things I want to get into today. The main thing is that Frank Luntz, for those of you who don't know who Frank Luntz is, he's a kind of probably one of the more popular pollsters that are out there, the statistics guy, the looks at all the races and looks at statistics across the country. He's one of the things that he's, if you look at most of these pollsters that work specifically for CNN, MSNBC, the mainstream media, the people who have regular jobs there, get paid by them. They are looking a little bit disheveled these days because they recognize what's happening. They understand what's going on. They can read the numbers. That's what their thing is. They're steeped in the numbers. They understand what's going on. Of course, they can't really play with them too much, but they do have to tweak them a little bit. Of course, now what they're telling us is this is coming down to the wire. It's a neck and neck race. It is not a neck and neck race. First of all, I don't want to say anything that's going to influence someone to not go out and vote because, well, it doesn't matter who's going to win it. What happened to Hillary Clinton, I touched on this a little bit yesterday. What happened to Hillary Clinton, I believe, in 2016 is everybody thought so. In fact, they didn't even try to cheat at all. The cheat wasn't in for Hillary in 2016. They just thought she was going to win overwhelmingly. By the way, I want to bring this is a good point to bring up. Under Barack Obama, under his administration, supposedly we had a huge stolen election by Donald Trump because he was an illegitimate Russian hack. Under Donald Trump's administration, we had the most perfect, pristine election ever held in the country's history of ever having been done. Because Joe Biden won. In fact, it was so pristine and so perfect that more people who voted than who were actually registered to vote. It was amazing. It was an outstanding achievement that Donald Trump happened under the Donald Trump administration. And then, under the Joe Biden administration, somehow this is going to be a very difficult election. There's a very good chance that there's going to be some cheating. The Russians are going to hack us again. It's a very dangerous election. Now, here's the other problem with all this stuff. They're also saying that there's not going to be a peaceful transfer of power. I don't understand that at all. I do not understand that. A peaceful transfer of power. There won't be a peaceful transfer of power. There was a peaceful transfer of power in 2021. In the 2020, they call it the 2020 election, but it was actually 2021 when Joe Biden took office. There was a peaceful transfer of power. To this day, we know of plenty of things that happened in the 2020 election that offset the election. All of them combined certainly had enough to throw the election. It wasn't one main big deal. However, if you watch 2000 Mules, it's pretty obvious that the steel was in on several places, and it was just such a crazy year because of COVID. Everybody forgets about all this stuff. You had the George Floyd riots. You had all that stuff going on. All the political unrest. That was paid for and orchestrated by certain people behind the scenes. The Acorn fractions that when Acorn broke up and all the little NGOs started forming to funnel money and channel power and influence all over the place. So we have all this stuff going on behind the scenes. And part of the problem here that they run into is that they show their hand a little bit too much in this stuff. Now, we are in a situation at this point, in this juncture, where it's going to be very, very difficult for them to steal this without really obviously doing something really crazy. One of the things that happened over the last couple of weeks is there has been a major push in Pennsylvania, especially in Lancaster County. There are about 180,000 Amish in that particular area, in that region. Now, you have to understand something about the Amish. They typically don't vote. They normally have not ever voted before in elections. Their deacons do not allow it to. They don't want to be part of the world. That's their whole thing is they want to live their traditional life. They don't want to be a part of their life. It's not just a religion. It's actually a culture. It's more. It goes beyond the religious part of it. In fact, the religion has a tendency to keep people in line. But there are, I would say, a great number of people in the Amish church, in the Amish culture, who are not Christian. They're not really believers. They go to church under duress. They go because if you don't go to church, if you're not a member of the Amish community, if you're not a member of the Amish church, you get shunned, you get put out, which is what the Democrats want to do. I should play this stupid thing I heard this morning. But the Amish, of course, they want to, the deacons and everything, they want to think that this is it's all part of the church, it's all part of their religion, it's all part of what they believe. However, there are many people I've met in the Amish church who are not saved. They get saved, they all of a sudden discover this, that, God is real and this. There is this relationship they can have with him, and it's based on grace. It's not based on rules and laws and all the things that they are kind of raised with. And they typically leave the Amish church in that particular situation. Now, they don't always necessarily leave. No, they might become Mennonite. They might become conservative. They might start their own thing. Some of them completely just get completely woke up and free and out the whole thing from and live very different lives. However, the point being here is that they are a very tight-knit group of people. And what happened out in Pennsylvania, especially in Lancaster County, was there was a particular Amish man there who had a business, and he was selling organic food, he would sell milk that wasn't pasteurized. I think it had a low temperature pasteurization or whatever he was doing, basically just to preserve it. It wasn't a full pasteurization, so the milk was real. It was actually only lasts so long, but it was actually had all the stuff in it, which is very good for you. There's all kinds of enzymes and things in it that you need, that your body needs, does a body good. So he has all the stuff. He has organic food. He has organic stuff. He has his kind of home remedy type stuff. He's got a lot of herbal things. Some of it's hokey pokey. Some of it's actually real. It's real stuff. It's been traditionally used. The feds came in and busted him up and shut down his business. Well, the Amish community did not take too kindly to that. They are very forgiving people. They are very passive people. However, they don't take kindly to someone coming into their way of life telling them what to do. There's a little bit of pushback there on that. And they stay together. They have a tendency to be a very tight-knit group of individuals. First of all, most of them are all related to each other. So when you do something to Maynard Yoder, well, he's my... And they know. They don't have television, so they don't sit around watching television. They sit around talking about family and who's connected to who. And most of the older people know who all their grandkids and great-grandkids are and who their uncles and aunts are and who they're... Because that's all they do. I swear some of these women... My oldest aunt, who's recently passed away a few years ago, I think she 90? No, she had to have been... Oh, she had to be close to 100 years old. No, that's not right. She was in her 90s. She was 98, I think, 99. She had the size of her family, and her descendants, her kids and her kids' kids, could fill up a small auditorium. I mean, it was, and of course her kids' kids' kids. She had a couple of great-great-grandkids, I think. But aside from all that, she also had like 90 some grandkids and 12, I think she had 12 kids of her own. Which they all had, multiple kids and everything else. So, of course, then you get the married, they marry into that. So then you get the in-laws and all that stuff too. But they're all, it's a mess. So I went to the funeral and it was quite impressive, but but she wrote a book about her family. And it the whole story about how our family got kidnapped basically from Germany. We were the family actually was from Switzerland, was helping another German family try to escape the persecution from the Roman Catholic Church that was kind of pressing into much of what was happening. Of course, this was pre-World War II, well before that, well before World War I. It was quite the mess over there during the Reformation. There was a lot of people were being killed for their faith. The Anabaptist movement, which at its core was the basis of the Anabaptist movement, was not pacifism. It was actually infant baptism. The Anabaptists did not believe in infant baptism, which is something that the Roman Catholic Church was big on. You'd christen someone when they were a baby, and that was it. They were baptized at that point. They weren't making a conscious decision, and the whole point of the Anabaptists were, no, you have to make a conscious decision. It's not something someone else can do for you. Now you can dedicate. We do have, you know, baby dedication where you're dedicating. The congregation comes together with a baby. Sometimes they do this on Sunday mornings. you come together and you dedicate. The family dedicates the baby to the church. The church dedicates their lives to care for that child and be a part of that. Not, it used to be a big deal. It used to be we used to actually do that. I mean, we used to flesh that out. Something would happen to those parents, the church would help take care of that. The church was a safety net. Now they go into foster care, and who knows who gets them. They're not cared for by the church anymore. It's just, you know, we're there. We're there to help, but that's... It doesn't happen the way it used to. It used to be family. You were family. You were my understanding is the blood is thicker than water. That whole thing is a take back to the church. It is when people would talk about things socially and what was happening socially, the social construct of what was happening in the communities, you would have something would happen to one person's family and somebody else's family, and of course the church wouldn't step up, and when someone would try to protect someone else's reputation or stand up for someone or defend someone, it was because they were related by blood. The water was the water baptism. Blood is thicker than water. In other words, I'm more likely to stand up for my blood brother, who's actually a sibling of mine, than I am to stand up for someone who was baptized into the faith as a brother. So it's actually kind of a blasphemous thing. It's a very sad state of affairs within the church when we call each other family, we're all part of this group. And that's the one thing that the Amish, I think, try to maintain. They try to maintain this ability to live communally as much as possible. And by doing that, that's why they give up some of the things of the world, because they don't want anyone to have anything more than they have. They want to have everything the same. No flashy clothes, no flashy, you know, this and that. They don't want to be connected to the grid. They don't want to be part of the governmental structure of some things, and they want to be, you know, set apart. Most of them don't know why. Most of them don't have, you can't have a mustache. They don't know why. They don't know why. They just know that they're supposed to shave their mustache. They're supposed to just have a beard. When you get married, you have a beard. That's the way they show that they're married. They have a beard. So, yeah, it's just on and on. So just different traditions like that. Well, apparently, 180,000 Amish have now registered to vote in the Pennsylvania area. There are billboards up telling them to vote in Pennsylvania Dutch. They're written in Pennsylvania Dutch. This is a massive movement. It's going to be hard for them to offset that. I think Pennsylvania was one of those. It was like 18,000 votes, I think, or around 20,000 votes that they won by. Georgia, there's all kinds of other. They're doing things legislatively in different states. In Georgia and I know Nevada did some weird stuff, but Arizona's got some really. It's just got a mess right now of things that are going on with their voter rules and voter laws and their voter rolls, people who are on the rolls. They're aware, I think one of the states, they're aware of over 250,000 people who should not be on the voter rolls. This might be Michigan. It's either Michigan. It's one of the swing states. And the legislators now have, who are controlled by Democrats, of course, have pushed back and rejected the idea that they're going to clean up those voter rolls. What? This is kind of like California. Now, Elon Musk came out recently and made a big deal out of this. Why is California, if you walk up and try to show them your ID at the polls, they will cower. He said it's like showing a cross to a vampire. They repel and repulse and say they can't, can't look at that. You're not allowed to look at that. They made it illegal. In any kind of election in California, to check your ID. There's no consequence. There's no accountability to voting illegally there multiple times. You could show up five times with five different names and vote, or especially mail-in ballots. And what's happening right now, interesting, the numbers are very interesting in terms of early voting. This time last election in 2020, about 58% of the votes that had come in on early voting, this is, granted, this is during COVID, and it was a little bit more likely for Republicans to vote early. Republicans have tended to vote election day. They tend to resist early voting for various reasons. But one of the things that happens is there's more chance for chicanery, all kinds of shenanigans and all kinds of things that they pull, illegal things and things and stuff that they can do. Now, there are some dangers to early voting. I'm going to get into some of this, some of the numbers. And it's what's important, I think, to understand here is that they don't necessarily aggregate these very well. Now, keep in mind, I'm looking at early voting this year, mostly because I'm probably going to be gone on the 5th, so I'm not going to be able to be here to vote. One of the things that they're doing, and here's the kind of things that can be pulled, and this is where people get nervous about this kind of thing. If you vote early, where does that vote go? Does that vote, what happens with, first of all, is it maintained and retained properly? Is it there? Is it going to be counted properly? Because there's less oversight. The thing's got to sit there for a while. When things sit around, whether it's in a box, in a locked room, whatever it is, that has a tendency to be, have less oversight. That's why you can't be there 24/7 watching over that thing, making sure it's going to be counted. At the same time, on election day, here's the problem with waiting till election day. And this happens in my district almost the last three elections this has happened. And you'd think at this point somebody would kind of catch on and figure out what's going on here. But no. In the county next door to me, it's considered a blue county. It's the county where it contains a city that Pete Buttigieg was the mayor. In that county, there are, of course, there's one major region where it's all blue, and it's a very heavily populated area. Everywhere around that area is red. The rural more, there's just pockets of more Republicans in certain areas. The last three elections, on voting day, guess where some of the electronic voting machines have had problems? In the heavily populated red spots, precincts. The voting machines go down for several hours. Waiting lines are incredibly long. People, of course, you have to go to work, whatever you have to do. You can't just swing in, vote, and get out of there. You've got to sit there for 2 or 3 hours. Wait. This happens every time on election day. Now, the theory here is that early voting would do away with that. You get it in there, you got it done. And that way there's no problem. Even Jimmy Carter, who will probably, Pat, if you've seen him at all, I'm surprised he will even live until November 5th. But he was all excited about being able to vote for Kamala Harris. This man is completely out of it. My mother was in better shape than he is right now, even up pretty much till the end. And she would not have known who she was voting for. She would have had no clue, but she was very much more with it than he is. They wheeled him in to vote. I'm sure they had to help him with it. All excited about voting for Kamala Harris. Now, with the numbers being what they are, the current situation they've got, When you start to aggregate the numbers properly and look at different things, different anomalies that typically happen because of the Republican vote and the Electoral College. Now, we're looking at a possibility of Donald Trump winning the popular vote on top of the electoral vote. There are some issues here. And the Democrats know it, and the bean counters all, they are very fully aware of what's going on. They know very well what's happening. And they are terrified. Now, one of the questions I would have is, why are they so scared? What is so scary about all this? Now, of course, one of the things is they're always talking about how he's a threat to they're still saying he's a threat to he's a threat to our democracy. He's a threat to our democracy. He should never stand behind the seal of the President of the United States ever again. Never again. Never again. Never again. That's Kamala's new battle cry. It's all fake and phony. It's all baloney. Fake and phony baloney. I don't know why baloney got such a bad name. So, all this stuff. What am I doing here? I need to type this type this in. What is going on with my... I got something going on with my throat here. I don't know what's going on. Oh, well, why does that not show up on there? That's interesting. So there's all this fake and phony stuff where they're trying to pull so many things. Where's the turtle? I don't see the turtle. There's no turtle. What do you know? So, got to be a turtle in there. I don't see a turtle. Oh, well. I will just do this. All right. I apologize, folks. This is... My computer's going very slow, and I gotta pull this thing up here so I can look at it. But the numbers are basically... keep in mind, you know, there's no advertising on this... on this program, so you're just going to put up with, you know, can't run an ad here real quick and do some stuff behind the scenes. Yeah, it should be showing up. It's not showing. There's nothing showing up there. I'm just gonna do that. So, here's the other side of this is the other problem, you might say, with early voting is that the Dems can see what's happening. They can see the trends. You can say, okay, we've got so many, you know, X amount of Republican votes coming out here. We've got to offset that with on election day with this big influx of people who came in to vote for our side. There's more strategy there. They can kind of it's more transparent. They can see what's going on. If you just have everything in one day, the lines might be long, but you don't have no idea who's there to vote. You can't anticipate that. You can't print off 100,000 ballots and have them sitting under a table somewhere just in case. Well, maybe you can in some places. But they can't. They don't do that. You know, they just. That's much more difficult to do because you can offset it and make it look ridiculous. In this case, they kind of have an idea. Now, the question is, how many more people are going to show up on election day to vote? And now here's where I think the Democrats have their. I think they have themselves tied in a knot here because they're not in. They're one of the things that they're not calculating into any of these polls. None of them. And right now, by the way, it's looking like Donald Trump is probably going to win every single swing state. It just looks that way. And there might be a couple. I wouldn't be surprised if a couple other blue states actually flip red. Because here's where the problem is, and they don't talk about this at all. It's voter motivation. You might have a lot of black men who are willing to listen to Barack Obama and say, okay, yeah, so, yeah, we're supposed to vote for Kamala, whatever. They're not going to show up to vote. They may not vote for Donald Trump. Here's the problem. How many of these people, especially independents, I think the independents are going to swing towards Donald Trump in a heavy way. But I do believe that there is a group out there of solid Democrats who simply do not like Kamala. They may not like Donald Trump even, you know, he may be even worse. But they really don't like Kamala, and there's this whole Harris-Waltz ticket. They're simply just not going to, they're just not going to find it in themselves to take their time to go to vote. They don't see Donald Trump as that big of a threat, but they're just not excited about voting for Kamala. They're not going to show up. Right now, I was getting into this one statistic here that there was 58% right now. The 2 weeks prior to the election, there were 58% of the early voting was done by Democrats. Only 42% had come in from Republicans. This time around, 50% is from Democrats. And 50% is from Republicans and independents. Now, that's a huge switch, especially since independents, there actually is a lower number of independents that have come out to vote. A much higher number of, higher percentage of, I misspoke on this one particular number. 50% of them were Democrats. The other 50% were an aggregate of independents and Republicans. In 2020, 2 weeks prior to the election, 58% were Democrats, 42% were Republicans and independents, and about 14% of those were independents. This time it's about 8% independents. They make up a larger group. And it's a larger group. The Republicans make up a larger percentage of the opposition as well. So there's several things here going on. And by the way, there were 8 million people that had voted early prior to 2020. There are only a little over 5 million this time. So you have a much lower, and when you look at this for what it is, if all things being the same, this in my opinion shows motivation. People are not coming out because they hate Donald Trump, because there's just not that much hate for Donald Trump out there. They're not believing all this baloney that he's a threat to our democracy, that he's an insurrectionist. They have not won over that line of thinking. I think people were willing to hear it, but the more time goes on, they're realizing this is baloney. They're not so sure that that's the case. He's not such an evil guy. I think Bret Baier's question was very fitting. I thought he had a couple questions I thought were very fitting. Unfortunately, it didn't. In my opinion, didn't follow up the way he should have. She tried to filibuster, tried to do all kinds of things, and I realized they only had a limited amount of time, so we had to kind of edit down what he was going to ask about. He couldn't just get... Now, one of the things he didn't talk about at all, and I don't... Nobody's mentioned this at all. I don't understand. The two main things in this election, the two top subjects are, one, the economy, and two, immigration. Nobody likes, even people on the left who hate Donald Trump, do not like what's happening with the immigration process. What's happening at our border. Of course, they're blaming all that on Donald Trump. And of course, Kamala is trying to change the the narrative into this whole thing of trying to change the timeline and trying to confuse people on what happened when, all that kind of thing. The border bill that was supposedly introduced right away. First of all, one of the other things that is just stupid about this whole border bill thing. Well, 9 months ago, that they voted down the border bill that would have provided for more agents. You don't get agents overnight. I don't know what kind of training process they have, but there's a hiring process. First of all, you have to hire people. Then you have to train them. How long do you think that takes? Say we're going to hire 12,000 or 20,000 more border agents. How long does it take to hire 20,000 people? How long does it take to hire 1,000 people? How long does it take to train 1,000 people? Who's going to do all the teaching? Who's going to do all the training? You have a limited number. You don't just have a bunch of instructors out there. And I guarantee you it takes a certain amount of training to do those jobs. Who's going to do all that? And how competent are they going to be their first day on the job? It takes months, if not years, to get that kind of machinery in action. Same thing with these fentanyls. Are they sitting in a warehouse somewhere? Fentanyl sniffers. Oh, we're going to have fentanyl, detection machines. Really? Are they just sitting around? They're just sitting around not being used? Or do they have to be built? I guarantee you, a machine like that does not get built overnight either. If they are sitting someplace, it's probably in China, and it's probably been sitting there for years. Probably not even going to work. And just another one of those things that just, well, if we had just passed that bill, we'd be living in utopia right now. Not the case. So it just, this is my take on the numbers, folks. All I'm saying is, yeah, we need to get out there and vote. We need to make sure our vote counts. We need to make sure that everything is on the up and up, and it's not, there's no shenanigans going on, as they call them, illegal tampering. And I think if we're able to do that and really maintain a level of integrity in this election, I think that there's no question. I think that Donald Trump's going to win. Here's the problem with him winning. One, there's a lot of time from November 5th to January 20th. Jamie Raskin has made it very clear. Dan Goldman, Jamie Raskin, Adam Schiff, all these people who are behind the scenes who are continuing to call Donald Trump a disqualified individual, that he's disqualified as a candidate, he's disqualified to be president. They made it very clear that they're going to try to do that on January 6th when the delegates are counted. That will be an actual insurrection. They like to say that, well, they're going to attack the Capitol building. This group that attacked the Capitol building, that's okay. First of all, Donald Trump did not authorize an attack on the Capitol that day. Secondly, a building is not our government. Nancy Pelosi makes it out to be the temple of our democracy. The temple of our democracy is in its people. By its very nature, by its very definition of the word. And we don't have a democracy. We use a democratic process to elect leaders, representatives, not necessarily even leaders, representatives of our republic, our constitutional republic, by the way. The rights that we have. I think that there's a statement that the founders made. I think that it's very telling, and people don't really understand it when they say it. Those who govern us will govern. The government has been given its power at the consent of the governed. In other words, we consent to give them the authority that they have. It didn't just drop out of the sky somewhere. The people made an agreement with these overlords that would be representing us, which really they're supposed to be. Even the term leader really is not necessarily. They can lead their staff. They can lead their people. They can lead the administrative roles that they have to represent us. They don't really lead us. The people need to be free. Now, there is a sense of leadership within that. But we don't have a king. We don't have we don't follow our president. We don't follow our representatives. It's not what the government was established for. And yet people still to this day want a king. Some of the Lord over them. They want a benevolent king who will provide everything for them. They can live in this utopia with their aspirations and dreams. In a opportunity economy, whatever that is. I don't understand that kind of economy. We have an oil-based economy. It's not an opportunity economy. Opportunity comes to those who work hard, are diligent, responsible. And maybe opportunity will come to you. It's not guaranteed. It's nobody's guarantee. Your outcome is not guaranteed. You take your chances. You might fail. And you learn something and go on and you try it again. Or you try something else. That's the nature of being free. It's the consequences of possibly not getting something done properly or done in time or done right, whatever. So here we are. We have all this stuff going on. And in my opinion, we are at the cusp of either seeing something great happen in our country or seeing something very difficult. And now, my opinion between November 5th and January 20th, we are going to see a massive, what I call slash and burn economy. I've talked about this a little bit before. They're going to set it up so that Donald Trump looks like a problem. That he crashed the economy, that everything, because he stepped into office, everything's going to go bad. Now, whether that comes from outside, from another country, from that they allow an attack from another country to happen, whatever it is. Remember when Donald Trump was on his way out, how they were all talking about how Donald Trump was trying to start a war with Iran so that he could stay in power. Now, I don't know how that works. That's never happened in our life where a war breaks out so the person has to stay in power. That's what they do in dictatorships. That's what Zelensky did over in Ukraine, canceled the elections. Because of the war. That's why even have a war at that point. You're just a dictator, just as much of a dictator as the guy who's attacking you. So here's where we are. That's their playbook. That's the way they think. So don't be surprised if a war breaks out and all of a sudden, we have to stay in office. The other thing that could possibly happen here is that they do something with Joe. Once November 5th has passed, all I'm going to say is this. Our country is going to look very different after November 5th. If Kamala wins, if it's a Kamala Waltz presidency, we will have a very different country after that. The peaceful transfer of power that they're claiming will not happen if Kamala wins, there's not going to be a peaceful transfer of power. Well, you're transferring power from Joe Biden to Kamala Harris. What's going to happen here? How is that not going to be peaceful? Well, they're going to attack the Capitol. So it's a building. So what? They're going to steal the podium and other that. So that somehow gives them some kind of power. They will launch the military. I guarantee you that it's going to be. When Joe Biden was confronted with this idea that our Second Amendment rights were to keep us from tyranny from the government, why you got to have an F-16? Oh, so what you're saying is the military is going to crack down on us. You're going to use the military against the people, which they now have, by the way, there is definitely wording. People are very concerned. There's some good legal scholars right now are very concerned about some of the wording that's in some of the legislation that's just been passed that gives the government the authority for 72 hours to call in troops. And of course, once that happens and it's, you know, it all breaks loose, doesn't matter. The 72-hour thing doesn't matter after that. They know what they're doing. They're claiming if there's some kind of an uprising that we have to defend ourselves from. Defend ourselves? Defend the country or defend you, the tyrants? See, my life doesn't depend on my representatives. That's you guys think that, well, we have to have our government intact. After 9/11, they all stood on the Capitol and they sang God Bless America, whatever they sang. I don't know. We wanted to let you know that our government is intact. Oh, that was my first concern when I saw those buildings getting run into by airplanes. My first concern was, is our government intact? It was not my first concern, by the way. But that's what they think, because they are so self-important that they think that that's our lives depend on them, or that we should have that attitude, that our lives depend on what you do. You guys are so important to us. I don't ever want to get to that point where their lives are that important to us, because that means they have a power over me, and I don't want that. But unfortunately, that's where we're headed, because our country has been so dumbed down by this idea that we have to have a good king. So we go down, we sell our freedoms for security, our liberty for security, and we have neither liberty nor security. Because they can't actually protect us. And you don't have any liberty. The very people who would claim to protect you are the ones who are out to get you. They would sell your life in a heartbeat for a dime. So, all I'm saying is, as the election begins to approach us, November 5th gets closer. Make no mistake, they are realizing they are losing. The problem here is that their rhetoric is not working. They're anti-Trump. Trump is a Hitler. Oh, by the way, I think it was Dana. Was it Carville? Was it Carville came out recently and said that Donald Trump's going to have a rally in Madison Square Garden in October. That's exactly what the Nazis did. They had a rally in October. At Madison Square Garden, he knows what he's doing. He's a Nazi. I'm sorry, but that kind of rhetoric's got to stop. This is just ridiculous. I could give them a lot of good advice on how to maintain their campaign and stop doing what they're doing. It's just making them look stupid. Folks, God bless. Have a great day. Hopefully, we can pray for our nation to get somewhere. God, take care.